It is such an honor to have Brother Jonathan Mackey here. I don't think he would mind me saying this because he mentioned it on Wednesday night. He's 74 years old. And I'm thankful that we have elders among us that are still out preaching and teaching and helping us as a younger generation. See, that was a problem with Israel. They lost respect for their elders, and they started doing stupid things. And I like to have our elders come through and speak to us and preach to us because it's a gauge. I use these men, and I'm so thankful that we're able to do this, but I want to know if we're off track. And that's what our elders come in for, to let us know that this is truth. This is the importance of truth. This is doctrine. This is the importance of doctrine. Because it's not just getting together to have church and have a big crowd. We could serve free hot dogs and give out cell phones and fill the place up. But we got to make it to heaven, church. That's where we're going. And thank you so much, Brother Mackey. God bless you. Come preach to us.
And thank you, Brother Grant. And praise the Lord, everybody. Nice to see all of you in the house of the Lord today. I always felt like David today. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to church. Amen. Here we are. And for every guest and visitor here today, I welcome you. I really do. And I pray that the word of the Lord is meaningful, easy to understand, and that your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ really would be enhanced and strengthened. You know, there's nothing more important than your relationship with God. Nothing. You're in the right place today. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, but he loses his soul? That is why at the close of this message today, this altar will be open. And we encourage every man, every woman, every young person, every guest, and every visitor to come to an altar. Wonderful. The best thing that can ever happen to you will happen to you at this altar today. Your sins can be forgiven. You can receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can be just strengthened in your walk with God. So, I found out a long time ago, you do not get closer to the Lord standing in the vestibule talking to your friends. You get closer to the Lord turning your back on the vestibule, amen, and coming to an altar. And so we appreciate the opportunity to be in Calvary Gospel Church again. We just so appreciate our relationship with this church and with the brother and sister Grant and Bishop Grant and his wife. I remember reading a little article where a man was over in Israel as a tourist, but he wanted to take a picture of a shepherd and his sheep. So he was driving outside the hillsides of Jerusalem and looking for some sheep and a shepherd. And finally he sees this flock of sheep, and this man is behind him with his rod, and he's just driving them and driving them and driving them. So he's taking some photos, and finally he gets the man's attention. He said, I thought shepherds were supposed to lead the sheep. He said, I'm not the shepherd, I'm the butcher. I'm taking them to market today, you know? So, but hey, everybody, it's nice to have a pastor who's a shepherd and not a butcher, all right? Amen. And so, again, we are so privileged to be here today. And tomorrow, November 20th, my precious wife passed away 9 months ago, February 20th. And I know this church mentioned that and has prayed for me during this time, and I really appreciate your prayers. I have a precious daughter who calls me every day. She said, Dad, you're not eating cat food, are you? And I said, no, number one, I don't have a cat. But I said, but at least when I go out and preach, churches buy me something to eat. You know what I'm saying? All right. Let's open up our Bibles while we stand one more moment to the first epistle of John, chapter 2. Way back by the book of Revelation, the first epistle of John, chapter 2 and verse 6. First John chapter 2 and verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him. The first epistle of John, not the Gospel of John. There we are. Okay. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Another translation says it this way. Whoever says he's a Christian and knows God ought as a personal debt to walk and conduct himself the same way Jesus walked and conducted himself. So if you're really a Christian, and if you really know God, you will walk and conduct yourself the same way Jesus walked and conducted himself. So we're going to talk about our walk with God this morning, where it begins, how to maintain it, and the grand climax of all of this. And you may be seated in Jesus' name. We are not Christians because we wear a gold cross around our neck. We're not Christians because we have a fish symbol hanging by our doorbell. We're not Christians because we have a bumper sticker on our car. It's amazing, folks, there's a lot of churchianity today, but very little Christianity. One old-timey preacher said, we have too many sermonettes, you know, by preacherettes for Christianettes, you know. But to think that is summed up in one verse, if you're really a Christian, you're going to walk and conduct yourself the same way Jesus walked and conducted himself. I can be going down the streets of Madison and look at an individual and say, now that person doesn't really know God, and people would get offended by that and say, how dare you judge Brother Mackey? But see, I am not the judge, but the Word of God is the judge of all men. And the Word of God sets the standard, the benchmark, and the criteria of what it means to be a Christian. And is summed up in one verse. You really will be like Jesus Christ. You will. It's when you're really a Christian, you don't have to say a word. It's kind of like a man saying, I'm the head of this house. If he has to say it and remind people, I don't know if he's really the head of house or not. I was preaching revival at a church Wednesday through Sunday, and three times in 5 days, I heard the pastor stand in the pulpit and say, now I'm the pastor of this church. And I'm thinking, wow, maybe they don't know that, you know. And when you're really a Christian, you don't have to say a word. You really don't. Now, the problem we have today is that everybody today is a Christian. Murderers on death row are Christians. You know, Hollywood movie stars that do nude scenes are Christians. Politicians, especially in election year, are Christians. I read an article in a Sunday paper, and they interviewed a rock singer. And in the interview, they had pictures of him in the magazine, pictures of him from his rock concert, stripped to the waist, tight black leather pants on, gyrated his hips, played the guitar, and they put the words of his song in the magazine article, but most of the words were so filthy, they could not even put the words in the magazine article. And in the interview, he said, now I'm a Christian, all right? Now, I don't believe that because Jesus would never sing a song that was so filthy You cannot print the words in a magazine article. So we're not Christians today because we sit in a church pew on a Sunday morning. And we are not Christians because we clap our hands. And we're not Christians because we put money in an offering plate. And I'm not a Christian because I'm up here doing the speaking. But you are a Christian and I am a Christian when we walk and conduct ourselves the same way Jesus walked and conducted himself. Now, there's a lot of prosperity doctrine out here, you know. You know, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, you know, as if wealth is the distinguishing mark of a Christian. I saw a little cartoon where a man walked into a Cadillac dealership and he laid his hand on this new Cadillac and said, I claim this in Jesus' name. And the salesman said, you can claim it for $54,298.71. Folks, wealth is not the distinguishing mark. I preached in the Amazon basin. I flew 500 miles back into the interior, slept on hammocks, you know, no electricity, no running water. And this whole village was of the Catholic faith. And the first man to come and repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Ghost was fired from his job. All right, they would not let him buy food in the only little food market in this village. They beat him with a metal crucifix. He's laying in the dust, and they're kicking him. And here's a man bruised, bleeding, in pain, laying in the dust. Tell that man, sir, get saved and get rich. Folks, wealth is not the distinguishing mark. God wants us to be good stewards and handle wisely what he gives us. But the distinguishing mark is that you do walk and conduct yourself the same way Jesus walked and conducted himself. Conducted himself. Now let's turn in our Bible, shall we, to the book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should, what? Walk in newness of life. Now, we are buried with him by baptism. And this is truth, everyone. There is no sprinkling for water baptism found in the Word of God. We are buried with him by baptism into his death. But when you're baptized in the name of Jesus, that's not the high point or the climax of your experience with God. It's just the beginning. We are buried with him by baptism. But like as Christ was raised from the dead, amen, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If you're here this morning and you've never been buried with him by water baptism, you really should be buried with him by water baptism. And if you have been buried with him by baptism, you also should, you really should, walk in newness of life. To walk. Now, the world out here has a totally negative concept of Christianity. They think all it is rules and restrictions, hardback pews and offering plates. You mean you got to go to church every Wednesday and every Sunday. Sit on those hard pews. You tell them we got padded pews in this church. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go here, you got to go there. This is Warden Grant. Amen. And we're all in prison and we can't do anything anymore. And saying, I'm not going back to that church because they want money. You go to McDonald's all the time, and they want money. And this is better than a Big Mac, all right? It really is. They have a negative concept. But again, to walk in newness of life. Now, how many here enjoy going for a walk? Anybody? Raise your hand. Yeah. I mean, just think, winter's coming. 10 inches of snow. To be the first one to put your footprints in the snow. That's pleasant. I mean, in the fall when the leaves are red and crisp, to take a walk through the woods. You know, to go out, you know, to the lake and take a walk along the lake. No one ever thinks negative about going for a walk. In fact, walking is healthy. It helps you sleep better at night. It's good for blood pressure. You know, I was in Dallas, Texas, preaching many years ago when Jim Fix, F-I-X-X, died at the age of 52 while he was jogging. He wrote the first book on jogging. His book is called The Jogger's Bible. And all these women were calling this sports radio station in Dallas, Texas, because their husbands were following the Jim Fix jogging program. So you hear of people dying of jogging, but you've never heard of anyone dying of walking. All right. And like Brother Grant said, I'm going to be 74 here in just a short space of time. You think I'm going to jog? No way. All right. But walking is healthy. It is. Now, I remember going, I've been to London, England various times to minister the word of God. And they have a newspaper in London that everywhere a member of the royal family is going to make an appearance. I admit to you, I bought that newspaper because I wanted to see a member of the royal family. I didn't care about Prince Charles, but Diana, yes, and the Queen, yes, all right. But I never did see anyone. But I would go down to Buckingham Palace and watch the changing of the guard, which is fascinating within itself. But I wanted to walk up to that big iron gate at Buckingham Palace and knock on it. And here comes that guard in his big fur cap. And he would say, yes. And I would say, would you please tell the queen that there's a child of the king here to see her today? But I don't know if they would believe it. But that's who Jonathan Mackey is. But if the queen came out of that gate and saw me and extended her hand to me and said, Jonathan Mackey, would you like to walk with me? I'd say, oh, yes, Your Majesty. And I would walk with the Queen of England. And I would come back to the United States saying, guess who walked with me? And I'd say, the Queen of England walked with me. They said, oh, Brother Mackey, that's fantastic. But I want you to know, everybody, that the Queen of England will never extend her hand to you or to me to walk with us. But every time we're in God's house, feeling God's presence, hearing God's word, God has His hand extended to you to walk with you. So, folks, my Christianity is not rules and restrictions and hardback pews and offering plates. My Christianity is an everyday walk with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and His name is Jesus. And it's a privilege to walk with God. That's the newness of life. Now, the word newness in the Greek literally means freshness. God wants to give you a fresh life. Everyone in this house likes fresh bread. We all like fresh air. And all you ladies like fresh flowers. Not plastic ones, not silk ones, and not just on Valentine's Day. All right, fresh flowers. I'm here to tell every man and woman in this building, I don't care what sin is in your life, what habits, what your lifestyle is, you know, how you've lived your life. I don't care what the sin is. When you come to this altar and repent of your sin, and you are baptized in Jesus' name, and you receive the Holy Ghost, it's like God takes all of your sin, writes it on a blackboard, takes a wet cloth, and wipes the whole board clean, and God cannot even remember what He has forgiven you of. And God does not want you to go back to your sin, back to your habits, back to your drugs. He wants you to walk in newness of life. And the newness of life is walking and conducting yourself like Jesus walked and conducted Himself. Now, if there's a new life, that means there was an old life. If there's a fresh life, that means there was a stale life. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. In verse 1, it says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past we walked. Where did we used to walk? For some of you, 3 months ago, for some of you a year ago, for some of you 2 years ago, some of you 5 years ago, 10 years ago, in the time past of our life, we walked according to the course of this world. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air. That is the devil. We walked according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In other words, it's saying there was a time in our life when we were under the sway and the tendency of this present age. If the world wore it, we wore it. If the world listened to it, we listened to it. If the world drank it, we drank it. If the world dressed like it, we dressed like it, folks. Why did we live that way? It's very simple. We walked according to the course of this world. Now, even though I've been in this church many times, I don't know anyone here personally. There might be a man or woman here today that a few months ago you would never be in God's house on a Sunday morning. Never. Do you know why? Because you wouldn't wake up till noon on Sunday. And when you lifted your head up off the pillow, bam, 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 there's 20 hammers hitting you in the head because of what you drank or smoked Saturday night. And you get up out of bed and say, oh, do I feel lousy? But you go to the refrigerator, grab another cold beer, go into the living room, light up another cigarette. I'll tell you, beer cans and cigarette butts, that is so fresh. That's why taverns are so special, you know, because it smells so good in there. But now you're in God's house, feeling God's presence, hearing God's word. Thank God for newness of life. Now let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And it says this. It says, for the time past of our life, not the present, the past, may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked. Where did we walk? We walked in lasciviousness, which is lewdness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Now the world is so warped in their values today. So warped. Let's say someone by the name of Joe comes to Calvary Gospel Church on a Thursday night revival service. All right. Now if your name is Joe, I don't mean you. But let's say Joe comes in. All right. He hears the word of God. He feels conviction. He comes to an altar. He repents of his sins. He's baptized in Jesus' name. Comes up out of the water speaking with other tongues. What does Joe do on Friday morning? He gets up like he always does at 6 o'clock. He has a cup of coffee. He has an English muffin with raspberry jelly. Okay, he hops in the truck, goes to work, punches in, and his buddy says, have a smoke, Joe. No, thank you. I don't smoke today. Come on. You were smoking 2 packs a day yesterday. Yeah, but I don't smoke today. Boy, that must be some cure. It is. Let me tell you what happened to me in church last night. Listen, I want to hear it, Joe, but before you tell me, I heard the neatest joke. Do you want to hear it? Well, I don't know. Is it clean or is it dirty? Well, it's kind of clean and it's kind of dirty, too. It's kind of a clean dirty, you know. Well, I'm sorry. I don't want to hear it. But you were telling the best ones in the shop yesterday, but I don't want to tell them anymore, and I don't want to listen to them anymore. But it's Friday night. The booze party's at my house. You don't even have to bring your own beverage. How can you drink so much and still stand up straight? I'm not going to be there. Well, that's what I'm... Well, what's happened to you, Joe? That's what I'm trying to tell you. I went to the Calvary Gospel Church. I've repented of my sins. I'm baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. So what does the world do? Let me shake your hand, Joe. Joe, I'm so proud of you. You mean you're going to be godly, upright? You're not going to beat your wife anymore, curse anymore, steal tools from the job anymore? You're going to be upright, godly? Fantastic. Hey, everybody, I think we should all cancel the beer party and go to church with Joe. Is that what they say? They go, hey, everybody, we're going to have a holy Joe on our hands. All right? And we're going to watch him to see how long it lasts. All right? He's going to be too good to drink with us, too good to smoke with us, too good to listen to our stories. But we'll just watch him to see how long it lasts. So I hope none of you expected big bouquets of flowers or telegrams of congratulations because you came to this altar and gave your heart to God. Because you do not run with them to the same excess of riot, they will speak evil of you. That is so warped. It is so warped to call light darkness and darkness light. Evil good and good evil. The other day when I was driving down the streets here in Madison, this little squirrel was running across the street and I saw this car slam on its brakes because it doesn't want to kill, all right, a little squirrel. But you know what, man, we sure abort babies, do we not? I mean, you know how warped that is? Do you know how warped it is for a husband to want his wife on a bar stool or on a dance hall floor rather than at this altar with tears of the presence of God on her face? Folks, that's the day we are living in. But there's a new man walking in my shoes. And I don't do the things I used to do. There's been a great change in me. There's a new man walking in my shoes. Hallelujah. Newness of life. Now, God asked a very important question of his natural people, the Jew, in the Old Testament. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. How can two walk together except there be an agreement? How can two walk together except there be an agreement? God is still asking the question Sunday morning, all right, in November of 2017. How can two walk together except there be an agreement? It is very difficult for Republicans and Democrats to walk together. How much more difficult is it for humanity to walk with deity? So here we are, Lord, a little group of people in Madison, Wisconsin, and we want to walk with God. And we want God to walk with us. But God is asking the question, how can two walk together except there be an agreement? How can humanity be in agreement with deity? God provided a way. Deity became humanity. That little baby that was born in Bethlehem, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted, God with us. I heard a Baptist preacher saying a short time back, you know, at Christmas time, preaching the Christmas message, he said that little baby that was born in Bethlehem, there was deity in diapers. I loved it. I wish I had said it first, but I'll give him credit. Okay. Folks, that was God manifest in the flesh. So God came and lived with us a while. All right. And in the flesh, there was a death, and there was a burial, and there was a resurrection. For you to be in agreement with God, and for me to be in agreement with God, you and I must experience a death. You and I must experience a burial, and you and I must experience a resurrection. Jesus Christ died on the cross. The Bible term for our death is repentance. Now, there's more to repentance than a few ashes on your forehead, all right? Shaking a preacher's hand and a few tears on your face. Repentance really is a change of mind, a change of thought, a change of attitude, and a change of direction. Amen. He that confesses and forsakes his sin shall have mercy. This church does not have a little confessional booth every Thursday from 4 to 6 and every Saturday from 10 to 12. You know? No, folks. Because you don't confess your sins. Go out and do it again. Come in and confess it again. Go out and do it again. No, when you repent of your sins, you say, I do not want ungodliness. I do not want lust. I do not want disobedience. You turn your back on it and you walk away from it and you turn your whole desire toward God. I want obedience. And when you truly repent, you die to habits and you die to ungodliness and you die to things of which God does not approve. Jesus Christ died. We die through repentance. They took a bloody corpse off a tree and they buried Jesus. We are buried with him by baptism in the name of Jesus Christ.
But on that third day, the earth shook, the stone rolled back. Jesus comes forth out of the tomb, alive now and forevermore. And the Bible says, if the same Spirit dwell in you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, do you understand that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, of resurrection power? Folks, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's why we encourage you to come to this altar and receive the Holy Ghost. With the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? It's the death, and it's the burial, and it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the head, and the church is the body. Does the head die and not the body? Do they bury the head and not the body? Does the head resurrect and not the body? But I know that I'm a part of the body of Jesus Christ because he died and I've died through repentance. He was buried and I've been buried with him by water baptism. And he rose again and I have the same resurrection power in me through the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 36. Acts, chapter 2, and verse 36. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they realized what they had done, all right, it says in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And folks, they were overwhelmed. They said, you mean we've crucified the Lord? What can we do? Let's all say do. Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, you don't have to do anything because you're saved by grace. No. They said, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, all right, everyone that wants to be in agreement with God, or you raise your hand, and we're going to give you a visitor card. All right? Fill out this card. We want your name, your address, your social security number, and your Visa card number. All right? And do you want to be a member of this church? And I'm going to take these cards and lay my hands on these cards and pray for these cards. And when I get done praying, you're going to be in agreement with God. All over Madison. People go to church and they will sincerely do whatever a preacher tells them to do. But do you know what? Filling out a visitor card is not going to give you victory over two packs of cigarettes a day. All right? What shall we do? Peter said, oh Lord, this is such a great service. Thank you for your presence. Lord, there's been such a response. We've run out of cards. All right. Anyone else that wants to be in agreement with God? All right, we have some counselors over here. Thomas Bartholomew, you go in and talk to the counselor. And when you come out of the counseling room, you're going to be in agreement with God. He did not instruct anyone to talk to a counselor. What shall we do? Peter said, really, Lord, this is amazing. The cards are gone and the counseling rooms are jammed. Listen, anyone else that wants to be in agreement with God, why don't you just step out of your pew, come up to this altar and raise your hand and repeat after me, I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. No one was instructed to raise their right hand and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What shall we do? Peter said, Lord, oh, thank you. The cards are gone. The concert room is jammed. There's people at this altar, but I sense we still have some shy, bashful, timid people here today. Listen, we now have a toll-free number, 1-800-987-4848. You call the 800 club. I mean, the 800 number. All right. They did not even have telephones. What shall we do? Let's all say do. Do. Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's the death, it's the burial, it's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not in this pulpit to take away from anyone's religious background or anyone's religious experience. I would never tell you, you've never touched God and God's never touched you. I would never tell you, you've never had an experience of God. But I'm here to tell you, God is still asking the question, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? If you're here today, maybe you've been confirmed, maybe you've been sprinkled, maybe you've raised your right hand and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you've never truly repented, amen, you can repent today. If you've never been in water baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ, there's water here, there's baptismal robes here, and you can be buried with him by baptism this very day. Hallelujah! And if you've never spoken with other tongues, there's more for you to receive from God. The death, the burial, the resurrection. Repentance, water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, receiving the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And do you know what? I've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people come to altars, repent, baptized in Jesus' name. They come to the altar, raise their hands, yield their lips and tongue to the Holy Ghost, and they begin to speak in a language they do not understand. And then sometimes I've seen the pastors come to them and say, "Testify, how do you feel?" And in all these years, you know, they've been baptized, they've spoken with other tongues. How do you feel? I've never seen anyone act like this. Oh, I feel horrible. What did I go to that church for anyway? I've never seen anyone sad, but there's a smile on their face. I feel great. I feel sky high. I'm on cloud nine. I was preaching in Minnesota. This little gray-headed grandma got the Holy Ghost. All right. She spoke in other tongues. "How do you feel?" She said, "I feel like there's 10,000 light bulbs inside of me, and someone just turned them all on at the same time." That's what she said. Folks, with joy, men draw water out of the wells of salvation. I've never seen anyone sad. But you know what? You soon discover that you still got flat tires and mosquito bites after you get the Holy Ghost. You're not always on cloud nine, cloud 8.5, you know. I mean, some of the light bulbs burn out. You only have 9,998 light bulbs. All right. Because God wants consistency in our walk. We're not on the holy roller coaster here. Up on Sunday, down on Tuesday. Up on Wednesday, down on up at camp, down. No, folks. God wants consistency in our walk. I don't think you should live on shots of religious excitement. You walk with God. Now, Sister Mac and I just have one daughter, and I remember teaching our daughter how to walk. You know, she's about 7 months old, and she takes her thumb and fingers and holds it tight to my index finger. I said, "All right, sweetheart, we're going to learn how to walk. You all set? Here we go." What did I do? Take great big steps. Can't you see the seventh-month-old dragging along, trying to keep up? I had to adjust my step to walk with her. And God really has to adjust his step to walk with you and me. So, yeah. So I took little steps. I said, "That's right, honey. Little steps. Yeah. You're learning how to walk. You're getting some balance. You're going to get some muscles in those legs. Yeah, I'm so proud of you. You're learning how to walk, sweetheart." And I did that day after day and week after week. "Yeah, you're learning how to walk. Yeah, boy, you're getting some muscles. You're getting some balance. Yep, Dad's really proud of you." And then one time I did it, say, "Come on to Dad, all by yourself." She let go of the end table. She takes a few steps, wobbles and weaves and falls. What did he do, go and kick her? "You dumb kid, I knew you couldn't make it. Just stay down." I didn't do that. I'm her dad. I said, "Come on, get up, because you're walking better today than you did yesterday. Come on now, hang on to Dad's hand." All right, that's right. You're getting some balance. You're learning how to walk. Yeah, you're doing so good. And then I remember the day she did it all the way across the living room. "Come on to Dad." She let go to the end table. She's walking. She's wobbling. She's weaving. Her diaper's between her knees and her ankles. Amen. Amen. And she's coming to Dad. And I said, "Honey, you know how to walk." That's how it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You repent of your sins. You are baptized in the name of Jesus. You receive the Holy Ghost. And you got to reach up and grab a hold of God's finger. That's right. And God says, boy, I'm glad you've turned away from your sin and you're washed in my blood and filled with my spirit. We're going to walk together. Y'all set? Here we go. What does God do? Take great big steps. Yeah. Original Greek. Original Hebrew. Hermeneutics. Apologetics. I've been to Bible school 2 years. I still don't know what hermeneutics are. Really? Don't complicate this. God says, come on, we're going to walk together. That's right. You're going to get some balance. You're going to get some spiritual muscles. Yeah, you can be godly in an ungodly world. You can be honest in a dishonest world. You can be nice in a mean world. When everyone else is honking their horns, you're not, because you're nice. Okay, all right. Really, yeah. You can conquer every devil. You can resist every temptation. But keep coming to my house. Keep loving the altar. Keep reading my word. Be faithful to God. That's right. You're getting some balance. You're learning how to walk. That's right. Yeah, you're doing good. And then God says, that's right, come on. And one day you might get up and go out into this world, and you might take a few steps and wobble and weave and even stumble and fall. What does God do? You dumb Christian, I knew you couldn't make it. Just stay down. Folks, I've seen saints do that to other saints. Do you understand? I knew they could never make it. But listen, everybody, if I ever fall, I hope someone will put a hand on me. Say, come on, Brother Mackey, get up. Amen, and let's keep walking with God. Hallelujah! And I want you to know, if there's a backslider in this building today, if there's someone who has stumbled and fallen, amen, God has his hand. I have my hand. Come on to an altar one more time. And come on and get renewed with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's right. Okay. A little problem, but you're at the right place now. You're at an altar. Come on. That's right. Let's keep walking. That's right. Yeah. Keep coming to my house. Keep loving the altar. Keep digesting my word. You're doing good. And then the day comes when you walked all day and you hit the bed at night saying, hallelujah! There was a Christian in Madison, Wisconsin today. Amen. Let's clap our hands for victory. Let's turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 5 in our Bibles. Genesis, chapter 5. Genesis, chapter 5. In verse 22. Genesis 5, 22. And Enoch walked with God. Verse 24. And Enoch walked with God. With God, and he was not, for God took him. Two scriptures are very specific. Enoch walked with God. Enoch did what was ever necessary to be in agreement with God in the book of Genesis, chapter 5. He walked with God. He walked, he walked, he walked. He walked, he walked, he walked, he walked. He walked, he walked, he walked. How many years he walked with God. And one day he was not. Hey, Enoch, Enoch, call all you want. He's not. Hey, Enoch, where is he? The Bible says God took him. Do you know what's going to happen to every man, woman, guest, visitor, young person in this church? You come into agreement with God through the death, the burial, the resurrection. You repent of your sins. You are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You are filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And you walk, 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 and you walk with God. Boy, the sun is shining and everything's perfect. Thank you, Lord. You walk with God. But now there's some dark clouds and there's going to be some wind and some rain and a storm. You still walk with God through the storm. You're on the mountaintop. You walk with God. But now you're going through a valley. You still walk with God. You're employed making good money. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. You walk with God. But now there's going to be a cutback on the job, and times are going to be tight. You still walk with God. Amen. The baby's very sick. And unless God heals the baby's going to die. And churches pray. And you know what? God heals the baby and the baby lives. Thank you, Jesus. You walk with God. But for every reason, God chooses not to heal the child and the baby dies. You still walk with God. Amen. The spouse walks with God and there's harmony in the home. Thank you, Jesus. You walk with God. But now the spouse doesn't want to come to church anymore. And every Sunday morning there's tension in the home because someone wants to come to church and someone doesn't. Folks, you still walk with God. What am I saying? Lose your health. Lose your wealth. Lose everything. But don't ever lose your walk with Almighty God. Don't ever let go of God's hand. Hallelujah. Because one of these days a trumpet's going to sound and God's going to take us out of here. And all the neighbors are going to say, where's that church? Where's that church? They're not. What do you mean they're not? God took us. Yeah. God took us. What a lively hope we have. A Sunday school teacher was talking to her 10 and 11-year-old kids and about Enoch. And she said, why do you think God took Enoch? Why do you think God took Enoch? And boy, they're all thinking hard. And this little boy says, I know. Why? And the little boy said, well, teacher, Enoch had been walking with God for a long time. And God stopped and said, hey, Enoch, you're closer to my house than yours. So why don't you just come home with me? You know what the literal Hebrew means? It says, God took Enoch home with him. Hallelujah. So, folks, the Bible says the voice of God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. In the very first chapters of the Bible, God is walking with man. From that day till this very day, God has his hand extended. I want to walk with you. So there's no doubt in my mind that God wants to walk with us. But the real question is, do you want to walk with him? Now, I've been staying with Brother and Sister Thomas. They have the most precious little dog. Anyway, it's a good thing I'm leaving on Monday because fish and visitors smell in 3 days. You know what I'm saying? But anyway. But I have a grand dog by the name of Tigger. He's a cockapoo, you know. Listen. When I would take Tigger out, I have to keep a leash on him because he will run as soon as any distraction. He's running. So I got to keep the leash. Come on, Tigger. Stay by Grandpa. Come on now. Stay by Grandpa now. Folks, you know what? I do not want to have a leash relationship with God. Come on now. Keep coming to church. Come on now. Live godly. Come on now. Come on. No, folks, I don't have to walk with him. I want to walk with him. I want to walk with God because he really wants to walk with me. Hallelujah. So know what, everybody? This service can be the beginning of you getting into agreement with God. That's why we must open up an altar so people can come here and repent. God wants to speak to you about water baptism. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And if you're here today and you're weak and burned and you don't think you can walk one more step, don't walk out of the church. Come to an altar and get strength to walk one more step and one more day. Amen. God wants to walk with you. God wants to walk with me. But do you want to walk with him? Let's stand. Let's raise our hands. Let's talk to the God of heaven for a minute. Everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Because God has his hand extended to us right now. Jesus, right now it's not rules and restrictions, offering plates. God, it's a relationship with you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do you sense the nearness of God today? Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. For without Him I could never know.